Cap and Company.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN_Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 1000. Thank you for listening to Cap and Company. Am I properly garbed for you with you in here?
Yeah, you got a mask on. I don't think you could do a radio show that way.
Can you tell?
Not
I can.
Really.
Yeah.
A little bit, maybe?
I can.
You should do get a Bane mask and just do that.
Thank you, Danny and Chris. Thank you, Louis Riddick. And I'm so excited for this tournament tomorrow. I can clear my schedule because I'll be out after one day.
The Tournament of Champions.
Yeah.
I am something.
The eight seed.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you this. I did not want to cheat. I wanted Yurko and I to both get the topics. He went to Eastern. He's not going to study. I am going to spend all night studying if I knew the topic.
Well, you can't get the topic. That's the whole point of the game.
No, he won't tell me.
Yeah,
I wanted us
the
both
point
to
of the
get.
Game. What game are we playing?
Johnny, we are playing the game, Tournament of Champions. So the Elite Eight, you, Carmen, Cap, Waddle, Sylvie, Bleck, Abdallah, and Meller are going to compete in a bracket-style tournament to see who is this station's champion. You have been given the number one overall seed. Carmen was close.
Carmen should be the number one seed.
Well, here's the thing, Johnny. You're better at music than Carm.
Yeah.
That was the thing
true.
That put you over the top is...
Except for Coldplay.
Well, and Carmen Radiohead. But so what put you number one was your ability to get the music questions, because you know I like lean music.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, I'm excited about that. I'm happy to have the number one seed. That's a lot of pressure that comes with it, so it'll be interesting as we move on.
A lot of pressure.
I'm glad I got to. Maybe it's in my maybe I've got to take a look at my notes, my emails. Maybe it's in there
it
to
is.
Inform me of this. Boy, the pressure is on.
It certainly is in your
Did you really not know about this?
No, I talked to you today, right, Carm?
Yeah, but I mean,
you and Randy Merkin both. I both had a conversation with you guys.
Well, first of all, this starts tomorrow. We assumed you knew. I mean, yeah, this was announced last week.
Right.
Yeah,
game one is the eight seed, me going on the road to take on Yurko, the one seed, at 12:35 tomorrow very program.
You're coming to Cherville then. Welcome aboard, kid.
You're driving down to Yurko's house.
Yeah, nice. Bring your sticks, kid.
Will we make sure that there's no cheating going on? I think everybody's on the honor system.
First of all, I'm not going to cheat.
I know you're
sitting
not.
Here. Listen, I go off the cuff all the time.
I know.
You know, my computer will be shut. I've got one sitting in front of me here. Might as well go check my emails now. I've got a phone with me at all times just in case anything's popping or anything breaks on Twitter. So, you know, you've got to be prepared. But no. There'll be no cheating. There'll be nobody else listening to the program offering me answers. Nothing. Matter of fact, only one of my boys is currently awake. The other one seemed to have a longer night than expected last night. So, you know, we're having fun, but I'm ready. I'm excited about it.
Yes.
It's a free-for-all. Anything. You can get a batch of 10 questions that just don't cooperate with you. You don't know how it's going to work.
Oh, we've been there.
Hey, man, I've already got a call into the people at UMBC.
That's right.
And asked them, just how did you get Virginia to fall to you? And I'm looking at you as Virginia. You're not very good offensively. You're very physical, very tough defensive team. And we're just going to throw things out on the table and let's go.
Yeah, yet to find a strength for Dave Kaplan yet, but I'm sure that we are not watching a film. We're going to find some strengths.
We're going to find something, man. I'm going to give it a shot.
And no matter what, we're going to have fun, though.
Yeah.
Yes, we will.
Right?
100%.
So we're going to have a good time.
100%. So 12:35 tomorrow, Vicky McHenry is going to be in real trouble when I spring this massive upset over the one seed, John Yurkovich.
Mm. I'm excited about it, boys.
I'm looking forward to it. And it's a great package. $1,000, Danny?
Yeah.
$1,000 for the first place prize just from Prop Swap. And then there's another $100 on top of that from the Hawthorne Club.
Wonderful.
How about that?
That's fantastic. My first answer tomorrow is Sean White.
The flying.
How did you know the topic?
The
flying tomato.
That's right. Sean White.
It.
I know everything. I'm channeling it. I'm channeling it right now as we speak. I'm trying to get in Randy's mind. Not Randy, but in
Danny.
Danny's mind. Danny, Randy, Billy.
Well, if the questions were
Betty,
name your Jimmy. Teammates, you might lose that one, Johnny.
Well, that would be problematic. You know, name my teammate's social security numbers on the air for $1,000, Alex. That would be exciting. You know, that'd be a fun time.
Do you know them all?
No, of course I don't. Why would I know anybody's
social security number? We got trouble if you know them
all. Guys are maniacal.
Yeah.
Maybe a former teammate of ours used to have those, but not me.
All right, very good.
Not me. I'm an angel. Good times, Carm. A little too inside.
Yeah,
I apologize,
it's a little inside,
to the audience,
but it's
right
funny.
Now.
It's funny to those of us that know.
That's right. I apologize. I apologize to everybody right now.
By the way, finished off the Tiger King.
Yeah, I haven't
started
yet.
How was that? Joe Exotic?
Like, it's so insane. But Chris called it on Friday when Jeff Lowe, one of the main characters, called in on the show, which should have won biggest name drop, by the way.
No.
Oh,
Hank
my God.
Azaria, come on. Isn't the other guy a felon? We're going to start awarding felons?
He's not a felon.
He's not?
No.
Oh, which one's that? I thought he was in jail.
Felon is Joe Exotic.
Oh. No, I mean, at some point he may.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Well, you're still not a felon, guys. I mean, to be a felon, you have had to been convicted of something.
Yeah. Anyway.
You might be a felon, doesn't matter.
That show is so effing ridiculous, but you got to watch it.
We're going to start it. We just have to finish catching up on Ozark, and we've got seven episodes left, I think, of Ozark.
Are you on year three?
Yeah, we're in season three, yes.
Oh, boy, I tell you, I think it's episode three or four, boy. It is an absolute beauty.
Good. No, you know what? We've watched only the first two, so we've got we're going into episode three.
I am going to keep my mouth shut, but man,
and then once we finish that, we're going to watch Tiger King. Is it is Big Cat Rescue in Tampa featured in Tiger King?
Yes.
Oh, I've been there.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
It's pretty cool, actually. Yeah. Really? I mean, am I going to find out something that I feel bad going there?
Yes.
Really? Great. We took our kids there when we were in Tampa a couple years ago.
What'd you see, Carm?
I mean, it didn't look like anything was amiss. I mean, like the animals looked, I don't know.
They looked happy and healthy.
But my wife said, yeah, I heard that this Tiger King thing is about big cat rescue.
Yeah.
And I said, the place we went to in Tampa? She said, yeah, I think so.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know how to tell if a tiger's happy, Carm?
How?
If there's a young impala in its mouth. Okay?
That's a tiger's
That's
happy.
That's it. They're happy when they're eating. When they're on their kill and they're sitting there and they're enjoying themselves.
I hear what you're saying.
Oh, the meat they shouldn't right next to the bone is delicious.
So what do we say about zoos then and everything else? Like, are they wrong? Are they terrible? Should we not have them?
No. So like, you have to watch the show because the person that runs Big Cat Rescue is going after someone who's running a zoo that is not kept.
Was this
well.
All? This is all happening now. I mean, like, was
it in the last 5 years?
Is that right?
Yeah.
So I was there when
Chris,
this happened. When this was going on.
Yeah, Chris, I'm not going to give it away, but there is a thing at the end. You know how they show like the graphics, Joe Exotic, this.
Yeah.
How many tigers are in captivity in the United States is mind blowing.
Really?
Yeah, with like just normal people.
But that's crazy. I don't know.
There used to be a tattoo artist down here. His name was Roy Boy. He used to operate out of Northwest Indiana, I believe, or Calumet City. He used to have an ink shop. And he used to have a tiger himself that he kept in captivity.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, good tattoo artist. He had some of Lenny Kravitz's work on his body. It was done by Roy Boy. He passed away, unfortunately, a couple of years ago.
Well, I'm going to watch this. I'm more eager now that I know it's about a place that I was recently. I mean, we were there, 2017, I want to say? We were down there, and it was just like it popped up on one, sites to see in Tampa. And like my son loves animals and big cats, especially when a couple years ago. And we're like, this might be cool. And I don't know. The whole thing was, it was kind of fun. I got to admit.
You enjoyed it. Enjoyed it. I think the point is that the guy there or the lady there, whoever runs it, was trying to go after somebody
that
else
would be
that
Carol
wasn't
Baskin.
Wasn't keeping the upkeep. They didn't have a great upkeep of the tigers there, so that's what her problem was they weren't being taken care of properly.
Okay.
So nothing was wrong with your facility, Carm, that you visited with your child.
Oh, I got you. This is
she was complaining about somebody else not getting the job done.
Gotcha.
And they're releasing another episode next week that no one knew about till yesterday.
Mm.
So there you go.
So which one's in jail? Joe Exotic? That's
Joe Exotic.
All right.
Joe Exotic. Yep.
All right. I can't wait to watch this. Everybody's talking about it. It's like,
part of me thinks we're going to be a little underwhelmed because it's been blown up so much, and I've heard it's just okay. Like, it's nowhere near as good as Making a Murderer, I've heard, and that kind of stuff. But, you know, the whole world has seen it, it seems like, so you got to watch it at some point.
You got to watch it, and you're going to be like, okay, Karen, this is the most effing insane thing we've ever watched.
Crazy.
But you got to finish it. So, anyway, what do you have on your program today?
We have a ton of stuff today. First of all, Bob Herrig is going to join us at 12:30. For the first time since World War II, there will be no Open Championship. So only three majors this year, hopefully. We have the remade schedule for the PGA Tour season, including when the Masters is going to be played, the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open. Of course, this week was supposed to be the start of Masters Week. That's not happening. So Bob Herrig will join us. Tony Baselli beat COVID-19, Yurko's former teammate.
He was in the ICU, too.
He was, and I read one comment, I think, late last week where Tony said, it was no joke, man, and Tony's going to join us at 1:45, so I look forward to that conversation.
Wonderful.
Yes.
You ought to ask Tony when we get him on, was it easier to beat COVID-19 or the good kid?
Exactly. See what he says. I'm sure you'll phrase it exactly that same way.
You know I will. You know I will. I don't mince words with my guy Butt Smelly.
That's right.
A couple of quick things for you. Today, in 1994, was the day Jim Everett went after Jim Rome on ESPN2's talk to show.
Kept calling him Chris.
Called him Chrissy.
Chrissy, yeah.
Chrissy Everett. And some people still believe that was
staged.
Like, set up.
Yeah.
And then Viking Scott wants to set a line on the matchup between me and the one seed, John Yurkovich. Viking Scott, Crown Point, what's up?
Well, gentlemen, so I listen to all three shows. I'm in the insurance office. I'm listening all day. So I've probably listened to 90, 95% of all the trivia contests that have been held between the groups, okay?
Yeah.
So this isn't just I'm making something up. I'm going to compare this to Randy Johnson in his prime against Rick Russell. And I'm going to make Yurko a 380 money line favorite.
Oh, my God.
And because of the fact, like someone already touched on, Yurk knows the sports, but he also knows that pop culture music and that, where I draw a blank on that because I don't listen to that kind of stuff. But just with all the answers I've heard over how many years you guys have been doing the trivia and how many contests there have been, I think that's a fair line. It's like Randy Johnson in his prime against Rick Rush.
Minus 380.
Minus 380. And if you bet me, the take back would be what, 340?
Yeah, 340, 320. It's right in there, yeah.
It's about right.
Bigger spread on that, man. Make it 300. Give yourself a little room to make money.
Right.
here's the thing. What a great concept, because we're looking for something, especially just our listeners that listen all day, entertainment. This ought to be great to listen to over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it should be good.
Agreed. I'll be doing a lot of homework.
Good luck, guys.
Thanks,
a lot
Scotty.
Of homework.
See you, buddy.
Oh, you better be careful. There's a paralysis by analysis theory. The best way to go into anything is loosey-goosey, man.
That's right.
Let the mind flow. Let the synapses fire.
You don't know what the topics are.
You bog yourself down in general knowledge, you're going to forget everything.
Vicky McHenry, I will give $100 to the charity of your choice if you make it through the first round.
Wow.
How about that?
You got a lot of pressure now.
If I make it through the first round, I'll give another $100 to my two kids that live with me. The drain that they are, sweet mother of heavens.
All right.
Joy. What a joy to be a father.
Oh, man. All right. I am getting out of your guys' way.
All right.
Have a wonderful rest of your day.
See you. You too.
And we will see you tomorrow. Yurk, get a good night's sleep, kid. You're going to need it.
I'm staying up till 4.
You think you're Paul Hornung? All right. Out of here. Carmen and Yurko are next. Stay safe. Stay healthy. See you tomorrow.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko. At ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Hope everyone had a nice weekend. We had a beautiful day yesterday. Hope you got to get outside and enjoy it a little bit while still practicing social distancing. Brand new week. We've got a great trivia contest starting this week. We've got our bracket up and running. Yurko did an incredible job compiling his 16 greatest moments from the Cubs 2016 World Series run. These are moments throughout the course of October and November. We did the White Sox the last couple of weeks. We start the bracket of 16 for the Cubs today, so make sure you vote on our Twitter timelines. I retweeted it. Yurko will post every day the poll. So make sure you follow him and respond and vote each and every day at Yurko64. That's Yurko with a J and the number 64. I'd like to say vote early, vote often. This is Chicago after all, but I think Twitter only lets you do it once. Maybe you can go and clean your cookies out or something and vote again. I'm not sure, but find a way and tell everybody what the first vote is up there, Yurk. The 116 matchup is like dueling Chris Bryant moments, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is, and we've got a couple of those throughout the Sweet 16. I even got a Javi Baez-like regional. That's how great Javi Baez was in this thing.
Yeah.
So the Javi Baez regional, I think, will be featured on Wednesday and Thursday, which is always exciting. Today's vote, okay,
yes,
will be the number one seed. KB gets the final out, 5-3, to our friend Rizzo at first base, going up against the 16 seed. KB's home run in game, what game is it? Game five of the World Series to go up 1-0. So those two, that's the 116 matchup.
You're
expecting the one matchup to maybe go ahead, pick them up and put them down like a Duke, you know, versus Western Kentucky type matchup.
Right, that's what should happen in 116. That's
right.
What's happening. About 82% of the audience saying Chris Bryant's final out in Game 7. And that makes a lot of sense in that matchup, and I would imagine that it's going to hold to something close to that number. I can't wait to see, as the brackets are unveiled day by day, where the rain delay is, or at least the moment we signaled out was, because remember, we're doing moments. We wanted to stay away from sequences. The moment when that tarp was rolled out, that's going to be somewhere up here in the next couple of days, I'm sure. So I look forward to that. So each and every day there will be a new vote up. And good work, Eric. I saw the full list. Nicely.
Yeah, and it's definitely a higher seed, Carm.
Yes.
You know that.
Yes,
that rain delay certainly was imperative. It wasn't the meeting as much as it was the rain delay.
Well, without the rain delay, there's no meeting, right?
The rain delay gave you an opportunity for a meeting, not that you couldn't have a meeting in between. You know, you could have called everybody out of the dugout, put them in there, and then that hallway or in the room or back into the clubhouse, had your quick meeting, gotten back out in between innings and maybe propel yourself to a victory. But certainly the tarp coming out for that rain delay was something to behold.
How was your weekend, kid?
My weekend was fantastic, Carm. You know me. I went out for a nature walk on Friday, and maybe I chased a little white ball around a grassy area. Did the same thing yesterday for 18 of them. Chased a little white ball around a grassy area. Social distancing,
walk,
of course. Yeah, let's call it a nature walk.
Yeah.
Since so many people in the state of Illinois seem to have a burr up their keisters when it comes to people chasing little white things around an open area. But either way, I enjoyed myself. It was a good time. Had good company. Practiced social distancing. Did not touch anything while we were out there, which is the important thing. Anything
good
that wasn't ourselves.
Yes.
We had fun. It was a great time, great weekend. Saturday was a nice, miserable day. I did a puzzle. I tweeted that out to the world.
That puzzle was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, it was an NFL puzzle, 1,000-piecer, 24 by 30. And it was great to work on. My daughter and I concentrated. We worked on the whole thing. We had some relatives come over, and they took a look at it and helped us with a little bit of it. And then the two boys every once in a while would come over and offer their commentary and would sit down and actually help us.
Oh, good.
Which was kind of nice, yeah. Not just commentary and or criticism, but every once in a while they'd sit and just help us a little bit.
Family effort.
That's what it is, Carm, family effort. It's what we call family tradition.
Yeah.
Why don't you drink? Sorry. Went into Hank Williams there. Hank Williams, by the way, is the answer for tomorrow's contest.
No, don't start giving anything away. I don't know.
Well, and I want some general knowledge questions.
Well, I know. I think it'll be like the games that we normally do. It'll be mostly sports with some music, pop culture woven in, I guess. I mean, I don't know that you're going to get what's the capital of Finland. I mean, you know.
Well, nobody wants the capital of Finland, but that's Helsinki.
That is Helsinki. Good job.
But there are general knowledge questions that could be a part of this. They have been in the past, so they should also be now.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's only fair.
Yeah, I mean, maybe every once in a while, but for the most part, it's sports personalities, sports-related things. And again, Danny's love for music will lead him. But you got to remember, if you're going to study anything, I agree with what you said, there's no sense in trying to, figure out, what's Danny thinking, or what could the topics be, and I better cram for the... Listen, you either know it or you don't. Okay, if you're going to study up on one thing, I'd study 90s grunge music because that's Danny's wheelhouse. If it's not from the 90s, you know, Danny probably doesn't know about it and he doesn't ask many questions about it. It's all Pearl Jam and Radiohead and Good music, don't
Look
get me wrong.
Look at him standing outside the studio staring at you.
Right.
That was like a scary
non-blondes.
Movie.
Porn on blondes.
Danny just came in and he gave me a gesture. It's, what's Chris Cornell's band? Why Soundgarden, you know, like that's Danny's.
Like
and that's all very good music. I love it. I mean, it is. I know why Danny loves it. We were in high school and in college then. That's our wheelhouse.
Are you suggesting it's a narrow scope?
When it comes to music, it usually is. Yeah. I mean, Chris Cornell was awesome. Don't get me wrong. I love that stuff, too. But, you know, Danny's crazy about it. So maybe there'll be some new Pearl Jam questions. I hope not. I haven't heard any of the new Pearl Jam album yet. I don't know. I'm sure Danny's listened to the whole thing, like, in his room quietly by himself a few times during quarantine. But I haven't heard much off the new Pearl Jam album yet.
So here's the question I think that you wouldn't want to have. In Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, what key is that in?
Jeez.
That's the kind of thing we don't want to know, right?
Is the 1812, that's the one that's... That's the 1812 Overture.
In which movie has that song featured in a prominent scene?
V for Vendetta.
No. Caddyshack also.
Old movie.
No, Caddyshack too.
Yeah, I'm sure both those too.
V for Vendetta for sure, Caddyshack.
There's an old one that... That
old one,
an older one. Is it the Bridge Over the River Kwai?
Chris, I think we're on the same sports movie, right?
No. Well, no. I don't think they. No.
Okay,
no,
there it's in a sports movie as well.
Another hint. Now, another hint. Here we are. We're in the trivia world.
Yeah, what is it?
Okay,
give us another hint.
Let's see. The Ultra Violence.
Oh, it's from it's Clockwork Orange.
Yeah,
nice.
And it's
call,
also,
Chris.
It's also in. Bad News Bears, when I think when they're in the Astrodome after...
I believe Merkin might be right about that. It's definitely a Clockwork, too. That's a great movie. I said Clockwork.
And you know the scene I'm talking about.
Right? Yes, absolutely. Right. That's a great movie.
Clockwork. Same scene as Good News Bears, right?
Yeah, bad
pretty
news much. Bad News Good Bears, News, Bad News, almost the same thing.
Same diff.
Yeah, same diff.
See what happens? Yerko gets us off track a little bit, and it takes us to wonderful movie conversation.
Ah, that's all right.
This is what I'm here for.
We have
I'm excited.
We do have a loaded show for everybody. Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we'll talk to Bob Herrig. He is ESPN.com's senior golf writer, and he'll go over with us some of the changes made to the PGA season. Let's hope they still do play these tournaments in the late summer and then into the fall. We know one tournament will not be played, the Open Championship, the British Open, sometimes referred to as the British Open, but more historically, of course, and colloquially referred to as the Open Championship, will not be played for the first time since World War II, Yurko. So they're canceling, just like they had to cancel Wimbledon, they are canceling the Open Championship for 2020. They will play it at Royal St. George's next year, and so they're pushing back. Well, you really can't push back, I guess, the 100. And, well, no, I guess you can, yeah. So next year was supposed to be like the 150th celebration, right? And they were going to go to St. Andrews. So the 149th edition will still be played next year at Royal St. George's, and then they'll just play in 2022 at St. Andrews. They'll adjust the schedule out from there. The Masters was supposed to start this week. This should have been the start of Masters Week, which most of us love so much. We have to wait until November. And for those of us here locally, if you're looking forward to the BMW Championship, again, let's hope by then everything's back to normal and we can all go out and do our shows like we normally do on site at the BMW, and the Chicago golf fans can go out and see this tournament, because it is back here in Chicago this year on the south side at beautiful Olympia Fields. And they have moved that to late in August. That's going to be the weekend of August 25th through the 30th. So a lot of changes. Bob Herrick will join us to talk about all that. Yurko's former teammate Tony Baselli, who we often have argued should be in the Hall of Fame, was a totally dominant player. If not for injury cutting his career short, he would be in Canton. He had a battle with COVID-19. It put him in the ICU for a couple of days, and he said it was no joke. And we're going to talk to Tony Baselli about it at 1:45. I know Yurko did send well wishes to his teammate last week.
Of course I did. Of course I did. Worried about the big lug, you know, all 6'7" of him, man. A man monster out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if it could take him down, boy, I tell you what, dangerous. And his wife had it also.
Wow.
But it didn't affect her the way it affected him.
Unbelievable.
Crazy, isn't it, Carl?
It is absolutely crazy, Yurk, I'm telling you. There's some other Bulls news that emerged over the weekend. Joe Colley reporting that Lauri Markkanen has been upset at his role in the offense. I think just the overall general direction of the Chicago Bulls this season. Maybe that explains some of his poor play. I do think Lowry's got to own some of that. I'm sorry, you got to put some of that on the player. That can't all be Jim Boylan's fault. I don't think Jim Boylan has helped, but some of that's got to be on the player, too. Players in bad situations have found ways to get better over the years, okay? So Lowry's got to own it a little, but Joe Colley reporting that unless some serious change happens, Lowry was going to nudge for a change of venue. Maybe that doesn't happen now that the Bulls are going to be hiring a new top executive. I wrote a great piece that The Athletic did at some point during 2019. I can't remember the exact date, but it was a very full, comprehensive profile of Bobby Webster, one of the top choices of the Chicago Bulls, as it's been reported. He is the right-hand man and was handpicked out of the league office by Masai Ujiri when he went to Toronto. And if you read this piece, I retweeted it. If you follow me on Twitter or go to The Athletic, you could probably dig it up. It is a long piece, but spend some time to read it, and I think you might fall in love with Bobby Webster. I know I got warm tinglies to think about the prospects of this guy being the next Bulls top dog, a vice president of basketball operations or whatever else they're going to call him. I mean, he's 36, I think, for crying out loud. And I know that seems way too young, but what he's already done and accomplished in his life is incredible. He has Chicago roots as well, even though he grew up in Hawaii. So I would suggest everybody read that. So there was, you know, a little bit more on the Bulls over the weekend that we will circle back to later in the show and give you our thoughts. Bulls fans rejoicing most of the weekend that it looks like serious change will be coming to 1901 West Madison. Bob Herrig will join us to talk about the amended golf schedule when we come back, talk about what would have been as Tiger would have started defense of his Masters title from 2019 this week. So don't go anywhere. It's Carmen and Yurko.
Get Carmen and Yurko pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Maybe the sports moment of the year in 2019, a year ago this time, Yurk. Remember Tiger Woods winning a major again for the first time in 11 years?
I do.
Incredible, wasn't it? That Sunday, that back nine, the way he navigated Amen Corner while his playing partner. Was he in the final? I'm trying to remember now. Was he with Molinari or was he with Koepka? Which one, Merck?
He was not with Koepka. He was with Molinari.
He was with Molinari, yeah. Right? But remember, Koepka and Molinari both made a mess on 12.
Yes.
Tiger played it beautifully. And a lot of people just think the experience and the knowledge helped navigate those final nine holes and that final turn through Amen Corner. And, boy, the rest was history. It was incredible.
And Molinari was playing like a machine.
He was until he got to the tee box there, remember?
And where did the Tiger go? To the fat of the green.
Fat of the green.
Left of the pin. Absolutely. Don't mess around with the pin. Leave it alone.
So, of course, now we have to wait as golf fans or sports fans. I think it's more than just golf fans, the diehards that love the Masters. We have to wait, hopefully, and we're still going to be optimistic that they'll get to play it in 2020, but it's going to be a while, not until right around Thanksgiving. The new schedule is out, and to talk about it and all the changes, and he's got his story up at ESPN.com. We've got the senior golf writer. He is Bob Herrig. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. He is simply at Bob Herrig, and he joins Carmen and Yurko now. And Bob, thank you. How are you?
Very good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. I mean, this should have been the start of an incredible week, right? I mean, Tiger's defense of what he did last year, and, you know, are they at least hopefully optimistic that there still will be a Masters tournament, that there will be a PGA, that there will be a U.S. Open this year? Like, to what degree do they feel good that these events can happen as they've rescheduled the season now?
To be honest, I'm not really sure their confidence level. I think this was done because if you are going to play, you have to have an ability to plan for it. And there's so many of these different entities vying for these time slots that they had to get together and iron it out. Obviously, there would be, you know, logistical things that need to get sorted with time as opposed to doing it at the last minute. And so, no, I think they are hopeful, like everyone, that we're past this and that we can get to the point where sports are back and spectators can attend. But, you know, I don't know what their confidence level is. I mean, it seems like, you know, it's so negative right now you know, a lot's going to have to happen for us to get to that point. You need to be able to have people travel obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you try to play without spectators, there still has to be people there. You know, there's a player and a caddy. You know, there's officials. There's there'd be some semblance of staff on site. You know, so I think and you know, as far as the Masters, they've taken the farthest date out, which, you know, it's still 7 months away now.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, maybe again, I'm just, you know, I just know what you guys know, what I read. You know, there's talk about this thing coming back in the fall. If that's not the case, then I think we have the chance for those October, November events to play. That's a long way off. You know, there's hope that, you know, in May we're going to start to see a turnaround here, and that things are going to, the numbers are going to decrease, and we're going to start getting closer to normal. But a lot has to happen, obviously. But for these guys to be able to put a schedule together and plan, they had to have something down so they know what they're looking at.
And for the RNA, I mean, what goes into their decision to have to cancel the tournament for 2020? I guess similar the way Wimbledon did about a week ago. Why did the RNA come to that decision that there was no other time in the calendar they could play?
Yeah, I think part of it has to do with their fear and sense that things are really tough in Europe. You know, that the virus is really, you know, taking hold. You know, in the UK, it's very bad. And there's planning that needs to go into even just having it. They were talking about having it in September. There's planning that needs to go into that, you know, fairly soon, even if you moved it to then. You know, all kinds of things have to happen. And I also think September, from a daylight standpoint,
yeah,
you know, we start to lose daylight in September here.
Yep.
It's even worse there. You know, they have a very, very long summer days in the UK. Like, they can play till 9, 10 o'clock at night in July. In September, it's, you know, 5, probably, at 5:30. And you're talking about a 150-player field and trying to get them around. I mean, you know, just logistically, how would you do that? So, you know, the Masters is only going to have 100 players in its field. So they've got a little bit more room to play with as the daylight is less in November. It's not so easy for the Open with such a huge field. And then, you know, they have qualifiers and things like that. So, like, when would you play those? The U.S. Open's going to have to address that. Mm. No, they've got qualifiers, too. When will it be safe to have those? How will they do that? So, but again, now that they've set themselves a date, they can kind of, like, look into those things and try to plan them and see how it might work.
I guess the question would be, doesn't the golf course really kind of lead itself to being socially distanced if you have no people watching the event?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, well, if you and I go play, the three of us were to go play, and we each have our own golf cart, say, or we're walking, and we pay without going into the pro shop, maybe we pay in advance or something, why would we have to come into contact with anyone else? We don't. I mean, it'd be three people on a golf course for 4 hours, and keeping 6 to 10 feet away from each other is fine. But I think even at an event, a golf tournament that would have no spectators, it's hard to imagine these guys playing without a caddy.
That's true. So, yeah, you'd have to have the caddy, yes.
And you know, they're typically in close proximity to each other. I mean, just little things that you hear, like, don't touch another person's equipment. Or don't touch another person's golf ball. Well, the caddy's going to be doing that, right? You know, I guess the other side of that is, that we haven't talked about here, is if there is full-bore testing and you could test every player and caddy and official who's going to be on site, you know, say in the days leading up to it, and they are clear and they do not have the virus, well, then maybe something like that works. And frankly, I think that's what might be needed for spectators, too. You know, I can't imagine how laborious that process might be, you know, like having every person go into an event, take a test, or have to show some proof. But maybe that's what we're going to need to make this happen, because, you know, as everything you read and hear, it's so highly contagious. And in the biggest groups is where these things are taking off in huge numbers.
Bob Herrick from ESPN.com is our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. If none of this were going on and today were the start of Masters Week, would Tiger Woods have been able to play and defend his title?
Great question. I think that is what we are all sort of wondering just from the sports standpoint of it. You know, Tiger really has not been public. He's sent out a few tweets. I can assure you I've made attempts to try to reach him through his people. And, you know, there's no real definitive word on that. Now, I have seen reports where he's been playing at home at his golf course, you know, played with his son over the weekend. Does that mean he would have been ready to play the Masters? I mean, there was a tournament 2 weeks ago that he would have been playing in, the match play. That would have been a big sign. Would he have been at that? If he hadn't gone to that, I think you're asking a lot for the guy to show up this week and contend. Mm. You know, he hasn't played since February now in a tournament. February 16th was the last time he played a competitive round of golf. He only has 8 this year. And so in a weird sort of way, all of this time away might have been good for him. You know, he's had a chance to heal from whatever it was that was ailing him. At some point, you know, he's got a green and a bunker, and you know, he can hit 60, 70, 80 yard shots in his backyard. I mean, that's, you know, that's a huge help to be able to work on a short game. I realize all these things don't really matter in the overall scheme of things right now, but just in terms of sports and golf and Tiger, yeah. You know, it's something where, you know, maybe this will be a benefit to him. Now, that condensed schedule might not be, you know, with a lot of events on top of each other. And a November Masters where it might be in the 40s in the mornings, probably not great. You know, he was fortunate last year that the temperature was pretty mild. That helped him. So, but you know what? If you could get him right now, you'd say, I don't care. I'd just be happy to play.
Right, yeah. Bob, we appreciate the info as always. And fingers crossed, we see you here late August on the south side at Olympia Fields for the BMW, all right?
Yeah, that would be great. Looking forward to that hopefully happening. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. We'll talk to you soon. That's Bob Herrick at Bob Herrick on Twitter. And he's got a full story up with just all the details that you need to know about what this new schedule could potentially look like. And let's hope they're up and running at some point here. Let's hope everything is. And come the late summer and early fall, we get to still be treated to championship, you know, major championship golf with the at least the PGA, the U.S. Open, and the Masters now scheduled for November 12th. Through the 15th. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, we'll do some trending coming up next.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Boom, 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 boom.
This hour of the show is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago. Many of us here at the radio station have a Lawnmower 3.0. Just used it the other day, actually. ESPN Chicago and the Illinois broadcasters are uniting against hunger. 8 food banks in Illinois are responding to the critical need for food caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Your gift will be processed by the Greater Chicago Food Depository and the Northern Illinois Food Bank. So if you have the means and you'd like to help out, you'd like to donate, please do so. We've got a new goal of $1.25 million. The Illinois Children's Healthcare Foundation is now matching every dollar donated up to $200,000. Go to feedingillinois.org/unite. That's feedingillinois.org/unite. Or you can text FEEDIL to 91999. And your generous gift will make sure that families in our communities have enough to eat. And if you're going to promote this on your social media platforms, please use the hashtag FeedIL. It's Carmen and Yurko. Let's do a little trending on this Monday. Randy Merkin, what are we talking about, my friend?
Gents, good afternoon. What's trending is brought to you by Trend Micro, the leader in cybersecurity, protecting over 500,000 companies worldwide. Visit trendmicro.com/ESPN for more info. So we start with Gronk last night on WrestleMania. This was actually, I think, taped last week, and they edited it for last night. It was over two nights, if I am correct.
Yes, Saturday and Sunday.
Gronk won the 24/7 champion.
The title. That means, Yurk, am I understanding this right? We need a hoodie maybe for this. That's a title that, like, any wrestler can win at any time?
I believe that is,
yeah,
yes.
Carmen says, it was created in 2019 and frequently changes hands across a variety of WWE platforms. The title has previously been held by several non-wrestlers, including Kyle Busch and Enes Kanter.
Oh, wow. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And Gronk, I mean, like, you talk about the like, athleticism and the choreography that they... I mean, did you see the... Like, he jumped from a balcony, and he fell backwards into all of them. Did you see it, Yurk?
I did not
the
see
the video,
that.
I got to say, it's pretty wild. Like, I looked at it, I was like, wow. He's up above.
He's only 1 year removed from being in the NFL.
I know, but he's got such a bad back. Like, he's on this ledge almost, and they're all trying to. So I guess how it goes, who's the guy who took the belt from? Rowdy somebody, I think. Not Roddy Piper, but Rowley. I don't know. I don't know enough about wrestling. The guy who had the belt is fending off all these other wrestlers, right?
Right.
So he's like fighting off 10, 12 guys, and then all of a sudden there's Gronk. And he, like, jumps off the balcony and collapses the pile. They all fall down. He pins the guy with the belt, and he picks it up, and he starts. I mean, like, I got to say, the video is pretty cool.
Mojo Rawley?
Yeah, that's it. Mojo Rawley. That's it.
Okay.
That's the guy he took the belt from. You know who that is?
I do not know who that is.
You got to
reading it. I'm reading it right now.
You got to Google it when we're in break at some point and watch the video, because it was pretty good.
It's being Googled right now, Carm.
What else is happening?
I'm in the process of Googling.
The UFC is close to finalizing UFC 249 for April 18th. Looks like it's going to be a West Coast location.
And there'll be no fans? They just do it in the octagon?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Pretty crazy they'll even be doing that, though. But I guess they test everyone
before. Yeah, they're testing everybody, yeah.
Clemson comes in as a massive favorite. No surprise to win the ACC title again.
Yeah. Oh, it's not even funny. They're 6.5. We talked a little bit about it on Friday. I mean, they're like minus 600. I mean, you know.
Right, minus 650 actually is what
they have. Is that what it is, minus 650?
Yep. And Dabo is getting some criticism for coming out last week and saying that the season will start on time. He sees no reason why it wouldn't.
Well, we just don't know. I choose to be optimistic. We can all say we hope. But Dabo Sweeney doesn't know if the season's starting on time. Nobody knows. I hope so.
Well, no, he's hoping. Of course he is.
Yeah. He said, I see no reason why it wouldn't. Are you kidding me? We can see a million reasons.
Well, right now you can.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's a silly comment.
I mean, it's April. It's April what, 6th?
April 6th.
Yeah.
It's April 6th, of course.
It's a silly comment.
Nothing looks like it's ever going to start ever in the world ever again if I base everything on today.
Well, I don't see a reason why it wouldn't. Come on. Of course there's a reason. It's a silly comment. That's it. You say we hope to start in the fall. We're optimistic.
The All-Decade team was announced last hour, NFL.
It's 2010. It's a who's who.
There is technically one bear on the team. Technically.
Technically.
Yes.
One bear.
Well, there's a couple. I mean, they're like former Bears. Pep's on here. Khalil Mack, of course.
Right.
Devin Hester, the kick returner.
Wait a minute. 2010?
Yeah, the 2010s? Yeah, they're still Hester's
on. Yeah, the 2010s. They're both on it.
Hester
Patterson's
on it. And Cordell Patterson. Yeah, you got a couple of Bears. Is Tom Brady on the 2000s list and the teens? Was he one of the quarterbacks of the 2000s, you think, Yurk?
The 2010 to 2019, Brady is on it.
No, I know. I'm saying, was he on from 2000 to 2009? So is Brady on two all-decade teams?
I believe he is, yes.
Boy, how many guys can say that?
Didn't he have four Super Bowls in that amount of time?
He would have had
three right away, right?
He would have had three, I think, in the first decade, and then he had three in this one, right?
Okay.
Yeah. He went 3-3.
I think that qualifies him.
Jeez, can you imagine? Who else can say that?
Nobody.
The other quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. It's a pretty good list. Running backs are Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch, LeSean McCoy and Adrian Peterson. Your receivers are A.B., Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, and Julio Jones. That seems about right. Your flex position is Darren Sproles. Your tight ends are Gronk and Travis Kelce. That all seems right. Calais Campbell, Cameron Jordan, Julius Peppers, and J.J. Watt are your edge rushers. Geno Atkins, Fletcher Cox, Aaron Donald, and Ndamukong Suh. Your linebackers are Chandler Jones, Luke Kuechly, who had to retire prematurely, but he was great. Khalil Mack, Vaughn Miller, Bobby Wagner, and Patrick Willis. corners are Patrick Peterson, Darrell Revis, and Richard Sherman. Eric Berry, Earl Thomas, and Eric Weddle, your safeties. And then, you also had Hester and Patterson as your kick returner. So that's a pretty good list.
Does Atlanta claim Hester?
It's a good question. I don't know how they – does it go like with wherever his last team was? Or?
Well, no, I'm just asking who would claim him in the tens.
Well, I mean, he still Bears had, what, 10? How long was he a Bear? Still 10 to, what, about 2014, give or take? 4 or 5 years in the teens, right? Does that sound right? I'll Google it real quick. Let me find out.
You guys want to hear the top 10 snubs?
Yeah, I'd like to hear those, actually.
Drew Brees is number one.
Yeah,
AJ Green. Terrell Suggs.
AJ Green's a good one.
Andy Reid as a coach is a snub. Cameron Wake. DeMarcus Ware. T.Y. Hilton. Dez Bryant. Andrew Whitworth. And Jason Witten.
Those are some good ones. I don't know. I mean, as great as Brees is, how do you take Rodgers or Brady off of the all-decade team from the 2010s? You can't, can you, from the teens? Devin Hester, by the way, was still a Bear in 10, 11, 12, and 13, York. So he went to Atlanta at 14 and 15. Still, okay. most of his run was still with the Bears, you know. And then you forget he went to Baltimore. Remember Devin Hester in Baltimore?
York, if it counts for anything, the picture they used is a Bears uniform, Devin Hester.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what you'd want to ask for.
Yeah.
I'd want to see exactly what he looked like.
Anything else, Smirk?
That's it, Carm.
All right, that is it. We've got some new Bulls information that came out over the weekend about where the franchise is going and whom they might be looking for to run things. Lauri Markkanen a little bit unhappy. Will a change in management appease the Bulls' big man? We'll see. 312-332-3776. Tony Boselli at 145 to talk about his battle with COVID-19. He said it was no joke, man. It really took a toll on him. He's going to join us in about 45 minutes. So we got a long way to go. Stay with us.